Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind. Primitive apostolic practices, August edition. Today we'll be talking about doing life together. Amen. For those who don't know, we'll be talking about doing life together. Next week we'll talk about sold out. Amen. Oh, glory to God. This series is going to bless you. Upper week, sold out, number 2. And then the last week of August, we will talk on every believer and minister. You won't remain the same. Amen. These are the things the early church knew. These are the things the fathers who handed down this gospel to us knew. Amen. You know, Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto us. Teachings like this help us to contend for the faith, help us to defend the faith. Hallelujah. If the faith is not defended, things will be lost. Okay. The very rudiments, the very tenet of our faith will be lost. This is why we must defend the faith. I know we live in an imperfect world. We live in a changing world. But we must be decisive. We must decide to defend the faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Because God has an expectation. Okay, God has a vision. God has a dream for his church. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. And you see, the proof that you love God is to align your life with God's expectation. The proof that truly this is a church of Jesus Christ is the decision to align our expectation, our practices, to align our doings with God's vision and expectation. Are we together? Glory to God forevermore. Now, we had said very, very basic foundations for this teaching. In case you've not been following, I want to encourage you. There are 7 parts already that we have taught. I want you to go and get them and see to them again and again. Coincidentally, one of the things we mention in the primitive apostolic practice is the practice of chronic interface with the teaching of God's word. Amen. So you have materials already. Amen. Go and see to them. Mix them with your spirit. Cook them within your spirit, like manna, like the instruction that God gave them in the Old Testament. He said, this manna, which is the type of the word, you can press it. You can beat it until the oil comes out. It's the same thing with the world. We've been teaching primitive apostolic practices. The oil has not come out yet. Hope you know. Just sitting down to hear on Sunday is not enough. It's to stir your appetite. You go and sit with the word until the oil comes out. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. It does something to your spirit. It does something to your spirit. Oh, yes, it does. There's a conditioning that the word gives your spirit. Oh, I would to God you understand what I'm saying. There's a conditioning. You know when people say, oh, pastor, I have an undisciplined mind. Pastor, my mind is distracted. Pastor, I tell them the word of God disciplines your mind. Amen. And when you begin to stay away with the word, you begin to vacillate in your mind. You begin to vacillate in your inner consciousness. But you see, to fix your gaze on the word, how do you do that? It's not something. The beautiful thing is, everything God tells us to do is not difficult. The power is in the consistency of doing it. Many times people just start out and be like, okay, I've tried, nothing serious is happening. No, that's not where the power is. The power is in the consistency. That means the things in themselves are not truly difficult. That means the space of the gap between you and your expectation is actually easy. It's your decision to be consistent. I told you last week that the problem are not the weaknesses of the flesh. The problem is tarrying in the present. Staying there until the refiner's fire refines your innermost being. You think you have a terrible attitude? Stay in the word. You think you have an undisciplined mind? Stay in the word. You think you are not a consistent person? Stay in the word. That's the consistency you should fight for. Stay there. Stay hearing. Praying in the Holy Ghost under your breath. In no time. The clouds will be full of rain. and they will begin to empty. You will suddenly notice that you're a person of faith. Circumstances don't drown you anymore. You will suddenly notice that you're a person who makes decisions and stand by them. Why? Your personality has been built. The word of God has molded your inner man. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. The word of God has the ability to build you up. You have to interface with it. No partial contact. You have to stay there. So it's not about beating yourself. Okay, me and blah, blah. No. Decide, I'm going to stay in the word. We are beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. Can you see what the secret is? Beholding. It says, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we behold, we are changed. In this kingdom, nobody is really smarter than anyone spiritually. It is our decision to be consistent with the word that separates us. It says, from a child, thou had known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation, which is able to make you wise. That means your wisdom is supplied from this thing in the scriptures. This is where wisdom comes from. Wisdom in business, wisdom in life, wisdom in marriage, wisdom in finances. It will come from the word. It to come from the scripture. He said, you have known the Holy Scripture. He's able to, the scriptures have the ability to make you wise. The word have the ability to make you a smart person. That's what he's saying. You become intelligent. Word mediated cerebral quickening. You know, I talked about spirit mediated cerebral quickening. This one is word mediated cerebral. You cannot have a mind exposed to the word and not be smart. It's not possible. Suddenly the amplitude of your mind will be expanded. It will expand your range of reasoning. You have an extraordinary sagacity of mind. You will have it. You can mentally put together, you can understand concepts, you can interpret them, you can see situation and put the puzzles together. There's something, your phronesis is high. Do you understand? You have a large amplitude of mind. Your mind is no longer limited. The word of God has opened your brain. Do you understand? This, when we talk about relating with the word, it's not about hearing instruction from God or hearing do's and don'ts or laws, thou shalt not do this. No. The word of God is the person. Yes, sir. It's the wisdom of God. Didn't you read in Proverbs? He said, I, wisdom, cry. I'm crying to the sons of men. He says, I am understanding. I have knowledge of witty inventions. By me, kings rule justice. Princes decree justice. Haven't you read it? He said, I have riches and righteousness. Yeah, durable riches. I love them that love me. Those who seek me early shall find me. That's what wisdom says. Wisdom says, I put men ahead. He says, I will put upon your head an ornament of grace. That's what wisdom says. This is blessing me already. I don't know about you. That's what wisdom says. Oh, the word of God, it will take a man, it will take a woman from the most unlikely place and set them forth as champions. It will. What do you think happened to Solomon? It was the word of the Lord that came to him. He was among the youngest of David's sons. Are you aware? But the Lord says he's going to be the king of Israel. Oh, Rebekah. And then by love, he offered up sacrifice. And the Lord came and said, Solo, what do you want? Your sacrifice can provoke heaven. Don't let anybody lie to you. He came up that night at Gibeon. He said, Solomon, what do you want? He said, I'm a young man. I don't know how to go in and go out and come in before your people. Give me understanding. Give me an understanding heart. Give me a wise and understanding heart. And what did God do? God says, Solomon, I have given you wisdom. And bam, his mind opened. How did we know? When he faced the next difficult situation, answers came out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The wisdom of the word. So go and soak in those materials. primitive purpose. Don't just let it be a series that will just start and then it has passed. No. Go and sit on them. Go and sit on them. Let the word of God light your mind. Aye. Let it light your mind. It will give you confidence. Aye, it will give you confidence. Are you aware that there is a confidence that the word gives that nothing else gives? There's a confidence that understanding of this gospel gives. And that is our greatest advantage. No, think to yourself. That's our greatest advantage. How else? Glory to God. We have an advantage. Amen. Let's use it. Primitive apostolic practices. Doing life together. Amen. That's what we are. Doing life together. Doing life together. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Can we have it up? In fellowship, in breaking of bread. Okay. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And in fellowship, that's where we are. And in fellowship, doing life together. You can write in front the practice of genuine fellowship. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. The practice of genuine fellowship. The practice of genuine fellowship. One of the most outstanding practices of the early church was genuine fellowship. Give me verse 44. We see that here. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. I told you before, the adjective is for all the practices. Okay? So they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continue steadfastly in fellowship. They continue steadfastly in breaking of bread. They continue steadfastly in prayers. Did you get that? And all that believed were together. They were together. They were not practicing privatized Christianity. They were together. And had all things in common. That's a huge one. They had fellowship. He was outstanding. The people of the world in their days, they noticed that there was a bond of love. There was a bond of unity. There was a glue of love, a bond of unity among the disciples of the early church. Everybody was not just doing his own stuff. No. And you can write this down. Christianity wasn't designed to just be an individual walk with God. By design, it was meant to be a collective adventure. Write it down. Christianity is not just an individual walk with God. It's designed to be a collective adventure. A collective adventure. A collective adventure. So there's a place of your personal walk with God. Your personal revelation of God. But that's just one side. There's another side. It's called fellowship. It's called doing life together. Are you with me? Are you aware that even God is an us God? And that is why you notice in Genesis, when he made Adam, he gave him an assignment. Adam was busy doing what he was doing. But he looks, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. Even me, I'm not alone. And then he created Eve. And give to the man as a help suitable for him. I know we use that scripture for marriage, but it's beyond marriage. The concept is companionship. The concept is fellowship. The concept is doing life together. You read again in Ecclesiastes, you say, two are better than one, for they have more reward for their labor. Again, we use that for marriage, but that is a business verse. Amen. This is what Western civilization understood and they built corporations. You see people buying shares into an idea. 2,000 people have their money because the bigger the better, because two are better than one and they have a greater reward for their labor. That's what they're saying. That means the effort, individual effort will produce result, but you can't compare it to when people come together to do things. That's what they're saying. Are we together? With genuine business partnership, the business moves to another level. The impact is exponential. It's a principle of life. And I'm starting from the general approach. It's the principle of life that on earth, Men are required for the fulfillment of men's destinies. Did you get that? So God created Eve, and Adam had a companion. Then before then, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So I said in the first service, God is an us God. So you must be an us believer. Did you get that? Hallelujah. God is an us God. U.S. Let us make man. So you too should be an us-oriented believer. Hallelujah. He's a God of families. The Bible says God sets the solitary in families. But the rebellious shall dwell in a patch land. Psalm 68, verse 6. And there he's speaking beyond biological family. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Let me just jump right in. Any part I can mention here, you get that from the first service. All right, so there are different layers of understanding this doing life together that I wanted to get. Different areas and different areas of understanding and application that I wanted to get. The first thing is having a cell of believers, especially within your local church, that you share life with. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Having an inner circle of believers, especially in your local church, people you share life with. We know that people are not perfect, but you must learn to see through their imperfections and see their hearts. Why did I say this? A lot of people have given that as an excuse. Well, somebody, I was a friend with somebody in church and they betrayed me. You have friends again, amen. Glory to God. And the person was even a church person. I dated a guy. He was supposed to be a church person. And he broke my heart. Amen. All these church people are evil people. Let me tell you, a sign that you are growing is learning not to generalize. Talk to me, somebody. When you deal with people individually, you don't just generalize. All men are this. All women are this. When people talk like that, you know it's foolishness on rampage. They were not properly taught. Not just properly taught, it is foolish talking. I mean, in your life, no woman has done you well. In your life, no man has done you well. If that is truly your confession, chances are the problem is coming from you. Are we together? So, people may not be perfect, but you look into their heart and look beyond their errors. And open your heart to have fellowship, because that is God's will. Glory to God. So that is the first layer of understanding and application of this message. Learning to have a cell, an inner circle where you operate from, with whom you can do life with. Don't do life solo. In the context of the local church, don't do life solo. You just come in to get blessed and go out. People are greeting, hello, hi, hello, hi, hello, hi. In fact, to make it more interesting, even outside, you don't have genuine friends. All in the name of, I don't want anybody to hurt me. I want my space. You are not going far with that. Nobody goes far with that. Are we together? So that's the first layer. And why are we saying connect with people or have a cell of believers with whom you can do life together in your local church? Because fellowship is impossible without similarity of doctrine, similarity of the same body of truth. Glory to God. It's impossible. You have to be selective. Now, part of the reasons I'm saying is because people have been hurt before. Okay? I was in a place with one unknown for years. We used to relate. When the person looked at a mentor I revered so much, Dr. Paul, and then said something very derogatory. He said, what is this one saying? Doesn't even know what he's saying. He was talking because he thought he understood grace. And the person was preaching works. I mean, I couldn't believe my ears. I looked at him narrowly. I said, seriously? No, narrowly. You know, that look, you just look narrowly. Seriously? I knew I could never have fellowship with him. Never. It's impossible. It's impossible. You know what Paul says in Romans 16, 17? He said, mark those who cause division and contention among you, contrary to the doctrine. That means the rallying point of fellowship is doctrine. I wish I'm making sense to get people in this place. The rallying point of fellowship is doctrine. We believe in honoring fathers of faith. That means you cannot have fellowship with someone who dishonors fathers of faith. You will love them. Love is compulsory. You can love from afar, but they cannot be in your inner circle. Why? They will betray you. Hey. You can't trust them. Nobody who voted a certain president in this world can be in my inner circle. I will not call names. No, you can't. Because there's a problem with your discernment. And you will sell me out one day. Discernment. Are you here? If it happened once, it's fine. If you repeat it again, no, you can't be in inner circle. Because you have another matrix for doing things apart from listening to the Holy Ghost and asking questions. Somebody say, God is not involved in politics, so just choose your party. Then you don't know God. Are we together? The same body of truth. The same body of truth. And by the way, this Twitter generation, they are not here. Amen. Go and warn them. Oh. Go and warn them. Life is not by dragging everybody. There are people who are undraggable. Settle it from the beginning. You can't drag them. You can't drag them on Twitter. You can't. You drag them to your detriment. You drag them and by walk in the spirit. Don't you understand? The Bible says, oh, listen to me. The Bible says, Aaron and Miriam spoke derogatorily against Moses and the Lord heard it. You know, he's underlined in my old Bible. The Lord heard it. They were having a conversation. Moses didn't need to be there. When they dishonored him, the Bible says the Lord heard it. And he was displeased with the things they were saying. That means in your room, God is hearing the conversation. With the friends, God is hearing the conversation. When you are coming under pressure to say, well, it's true, Sha, contrary to the things you were taught. So, fellowship can truly happen when you share the same body of truth. Paul tells us to avoid certain people. He didn't say to stop loving them. You love them, but you avoid them. You avoid them. You avoid them. You have a fiancé, a fiance, or a fiancé boy. Amen. Who is telling you? Oh, that your church and that your pastor. Is that the thing they are teaching you people? All this 21st century pastor. And he wants to marry you. Ah. Ah, who did this to you? How are you going to run that house? And you are here excited about the revelation, primitive apostolic practices. Christ is the only answer. They will soon shut your mouth. Amen. Now, I had to use that example because marriage is one of the highest levels of fellowship on the earth. And you cannot marry someone with whom you don't share the same body of truth. That they are Christians is not enough. Or you run into troubles. You will bring your tithe and you say, what's that tithe? In this house, in my house, you don't carry any money out. And that's the end of it. Amen. You call me for counsel. I say, no, it's your husband. Obey your husband. Obey your husband. Didn't we tell you? Why are you dragging me into your personal business? I thought you said you had peace in your heart. It's your peace. Keep your peace. You have finally gotten your peace. Enjoy your peace. Please don't drag us into your family business. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we're trying to tell someone not to marry a certain fellow, and she said she had peace about it. And what were you expecting us to say? Say, enjoy your peace. Someone came and told me that they were assaulting her. The husband was slapping her. I said, she's enjoying her peace. It's her peace. Her peace we have given unto her. Let me continue. We must hear this thing on the news today. You know this one, we cannot cross it to next week. There's something different. Are you blessed already? That's the first layer. Okay.
That's the first layer. And in scriptures, we see people who rose by functioning in solid cells, solid inner circles. Very important. And you notice, even when God calls people alone, he sends people to go with them, because nobody really can do life alone. You can't. What happened when Saul was called? The Bible says they went with him, valiant men whose heart the Lord has touched. Valiant men whose heart the Lord has touched. He had companions. The same thing with David. Number one, God gave him Jonathan. Their hearts were knit together. Then we have these men who met him in the cave of Adullam, that he turned to mighty men. They grew together. They became companions. When you listen to their conversation, you knew they were companions. Of course, there was a place of him being their leader, but they were companions. They were friends. They were his inner circle. They defended him. Go and read it. So even a leader that God calls cannot do it alone. When God called Moses, he gave him Aaron, Hur, and Miriam. Even when they rebelled at the point, God dealt with them and the companionship continued. Are we together? What about Daniel? I mean, we're going to read about Daniel. Ready for them in first service. Daniel chapter 2, very quickly. Daniel chapter 2, very quickly, 14 to 19. Hey! Shakabalakosaya. Horabekosa. And this is this wisdom of Daniel. Oh, you marketplace people, you have to pay attention. You see, this is one of the challenges that believers in strategic positions face. They go there and then they are alone. They are isolated. No strong believers around them. And then the people who are around them are wrong people. And then you start hearing that, but this guy was FCS president. This guy, I didn't call anybody's name. This guy was a Christian. He became governor and we didn't understand him anymore. The question is, where were his companions? And listen, those companionship, you begin to build them now. Are we together? Will they hurt you? Yes. Because they are not perfect. But look into their heart. If they are not bad people, you bring them into your inner circle. If it's just human frailty and they are just victims of attitudes they grew up with and they are working on it, give them a chance. But you must have inner circle of believers who can challenge you to good work, who can defend you, who can stand with you, who can surround you now and later. He said, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch. You remember the background story? A king had a dream. My children have the cartoon of Daniel's story that they watch. It's very funny. The way the magician spoke. They said, oh, king, who does that? You mean we should tell you your dream and the interpretation? Who does that? All right. And he said, well, now I'm angry. I'm quoting the cartoon now. Arioch, I'm angry. Kill all the magicians. All right, so this is the Arioch in the cartoon. He's in the Bible, amen? All right. He answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who was going to slay all the wise men of Babylon. 15. He said, why is the king's decree so hasty? Okay, so Daniel explained it to him. Arioch explained it to him. 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. Many things you see from there. It's not my focus today. But there are no impossibilities. Give me time. Oh, give me time. You say, sir, give me time. I can work on something. There are no impossibilities. And that he will show the king the interpretation. Next verse. In case you don't understand, in case you didn't get what I was saying earlier, a king had a dream. He says, tell me the dream and the interpretation. It's a proof that you are wise. And God is creating those circumstances in our generation. But we have to be prepared. Listen, the way we'll take over the world is through superiority of manifestation. Superiority of manifestation. We must vow to be productive. Not this simple life. You know simple life? The negative simple life. Simplistic life. No. Okay? I'm looking forward just to eat, what to drive. Life is bigger than that. You must live a life of a visionary. You must live an inspiring life. And we must be prepared for these opportunities of displaying the wisdom and the power. power of God. Give me some time. I'm coming out with answer. These banditry issues, somebody can come with answers. The economic issues in the land, somebody can come with answers. And I'm talking to someone right now. Verse 17, I love this. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to who? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He had companions that he could discuss issues with and they could pray about it. Who are your spiritual companions? Amen. This is why we create platforms in church where you can serve in groups, where you can belong to groups. It's important. It's important. Some of the long-lasting relationships I have today came from fellowships. In church. As fellowships in church, that's what I mean. Have it together. Most of the friends you know I have came from there. Back in school. Fellowship. That we're serving together in the worship team, in missions department, and all that. And like an elder in this country, she say, old friends are good, new friends are silver. Thank you, Lord. That they would desire mercy of the Lord. That means they wanted to pray about it concerning this secret. That Daniel and his fellow should not perish with the rest of the wise men. Because afterwards, it was going to reach them. Amen. Look at this. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a nice vision. Oh, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven and then went to the king and told him about his dream and the interpretation. What do you think the king did? He bowed to worship Daniel. Say, you must be a god. You must be a god. He bowed to worship him. Hallelujah. Doing life together is a wisdom you must learn. Having fellowship. Let me complete Daniel before I talk about Paul and the early church. Give me verse 48 and 49 quickly. Don't try to carry first. I think I mentioned that in the first service. God brings relationships your way. Listen, genuine relationship must be treated with humility and love. Humility and love. Don't try to carry first. You know that second primary school thing? You are reading, you are not showing people so that you can carry first. It does not happen in real life. No. In real life, you are going to have genuine people. You will prefer them many times. You give them the advantage many times. If you want to do something and they say they want to do it in a way that two people cannot do it, let them have it. God will see it and honor you. Are you here? God will see it and honor you. You don't fight. Amen. You don't fight. And let me touch a very sensitive area, evil relationship. Don't fight. Let me tell you the truth there. Don't let relationships separate your genuine friendships. Meaning, a brother was eyeing you. You know. And then suddenly your friend crossed the road. And he's not eyeing your friend. No, very practical stuff. I'm telling the truth. Don't break up your friendship with that lady because of that situation. Chances are that guy is the fake one. And the same thing for guys. Amen. Are we together? It's hard, but it's true. Especially when you notice I wasn't really this person's fault. And that just don't. What I'm saying is, when you build genuine relationships, don't let trivial things break them. Do you understand? Even when the people are sincerely wrong, give them a chance. There may be major keys to the next level in the future. Are we together? Now, I'm not saying when there's an atmosphere of jealousy and envy and bitterness, you should stay there. That one you have to run away, man, because it's destructive. Are you still with me? But prefer them. Look at what Daniel did. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. one manifestation. Prepare yourself. It's not 2 days, it's 1 day. Just be prepared. On a certain day, you arrive at the palace. Be prepared. Be prepared. He made Daniel a great man. Remember, Daniel saw the secret in the vision. But how many people prayed? His companions prayed. His companions prayed. Made him ruler over all Babylon and the chief of the governors. He became the HOD of all the wise men. Wise men, there is no Harvard professor. So these were magicians. Amen. I told you, was it last week Sunday? I told you. And listen, don't be afraid to penetrate the marketplace. Don't be afraid. You want to go for beauty pageant? Don't say in that beauty pageant, we don't know what's happening. Before you win, you must sleep with people. No, no. Even if that's what they said, you go for it, praying and fasting. You be the person that God will use to change the narrative. Christians are so interested in staying off that separatist thing. Let me just drive that home. You know, I mentioned, you can see. Okay, let me read this to the end. Then I'll say what I want to say. Verse 49. Look at this. Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach. You know, it's the same people. They changed their names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat at the gate of the king. Are you seeing this? He brought his friends. When the prophet said, oh guys, oh babes, what? That's how God is doing it. Oh, what's the normal slang? Pull your people up there. That's what I told you. This is the wisdom of Daniel. You must learn it in the marketplace. You are going into politics. Who are your companions, spiritual companions you have known from church over the years? Are we together? Don't be alone. As you are going, they are following you there. Because they will protect you. Look at what Daniel did. He brought his friends up there. He brought them up there. You see, Christians go up and they are disconnected. Disconnected. The guys on the other side understand what I'm saying. Because news flash, you must trust somebody. It's compulsory. Even after you are betrayed, you must trust again. Figuratively, there are people that must see your nakedness. Are you with me? They know your weaknesses and strengths. It's a gift of trust. Doing life together. God is an us God. We must be us believers. Are you with me? Daniel had companion. Are you aware that in Acts 13, Daniel entered into his apostolic ministry by the prayer meeting of his companions? As they prayed and ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Sorry, I was talking about Paul, not Daniel. Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them. This was how he entered the apostolic phase of his ministry. The Bible said there were certain teachers and prophets in Antioch, and he called their names. They were companions. They had fellowship. They were praying together. Acts chapter 13. They were praying together. And then the voice of the Lord came, and Daniel entered into the next phase of his work. And he went, Daniel and, Daniel got stuck with my mouth. Paul entered into the next phase of his life. Paul. Paul and Barnabas, right? Glory to God. Are you learning something? All right. Let me just run very fast. Early church, you see the return. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. When they were persecuted, they returned to their own company. So what I'm saying is, in this church, find a group. Prayerfully. In fact, your core companions may not come from that group, but that group will help position you. For listen, if you are listening to me in this church, there are people in this church that God has sent to you. I know a young man who is handling monies in hundreds of millions now. How did it blow? Is this thing I'm talking about? Relating with people in church. You may not know who the person is. And then this man said, oh, you can do this. Come and do this for me. Apparently, the person was in real estate and he gave him properties to sell. He sold his first property for 400 million. He sold it cash. The guy gave him 10%, 40 million. He was squatting. Are you here?
You know what 40 million can do to your life? Amen.
All right. Praise God. It was church meeting.
I mean, there are millions of stories like that. Those are just part of benefits. Amen.
Glory to God. It's important. Yeah, I have many things to say. Another layer of understanding and application of this message, listen to this, is prioritizing the assembly life. Prioritizing the assembly life. Prioritizing the assembly life. That's the second layer of understanding and application of this message. Doing life together. You have to prioritize the assembly life. Look up at me. Are you aware that there is no place in the New Testament where church was mentioned that it referred to you as an individual? It always referred to the collective. It always referred to the congregation of God's people. It was always used referring to the assembly of believing ones. That's what it meant. Beginning from two and above, Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together, I'm there in the midst of them. That's the smallest church. Everywhere you can go and do your study. So when we say church, think of an assembly of people. Listen, as a believer, you must give priority to the assembly life. You must give priority to a gathering of believers. You must give priority to belonging to a body of believers. Literally, ecclesia means the meeting of believers. It actually refers to meetings like this. This is actually church. Are you with me? So those funny talk like there's a friendship between me and God that doesn't concern the church is false, demonic, and destructive. You know, there's a fellowship between me and God that doesn't concern the church. There's a personal dealings I'm having with God. It does not concern the church. Number one is false. Number two is demonic. You write it somewhere. It's demonic. It's demonic. I'll show you now. Number three, it is destructive. If you have watched any, maybe National Geographic, you watched how lions hunt, how those predators. When they are hunting their prey, especially for the prey that go in bands, that go in herds, to get one, they have to separate that one from the herd. Have you not noticed it? You can go on Google and check it. That means to be isolated is to be a cheap prey for Satan. You don't have covering. There's what I told you last week about mutual edification. One of the things it brings is that protection. There's nothing like that. That you have, I asked a young man, that says, so which church you go to? He said, currently I'm having a personal dealing with God. I'm not doing this churching. That's a dumb talk. That's dumb talk. So it's up to, yeah, it's up more than 3 years now. I'm hearing that he's still having personal dealings with God. You are not going anywhere. You get close to some people and see all kinds of crazy struggles. All kinds of dysfunctional life. Are you with me? I am the church. Church is who I am, not where I go to. That's a deceptive talk. That's a scam. Satan wants to scam you. Are you with me? Let me tell you what that means. It's like your finger. It's like a finger saying, there's a relationship I have with life that doesn't concern the whole body. This finger. There's a relationship I have with life. It doesn't concern the whole body. It will be dead. No blood supply. No nerve supply. The nerves will tell it where there's pain to go. No. Why do you think people with leprosy have wounds on their extremities? The nerves, they are dead. That means they can be burning in fire. They can't sense fire. And the place will burn and bleed. So this finger cannot say, well, there's a relationship with life that I have that doesn't concern the body. No. No. It receives its blood supply from the body. Nerve supply from the body. Meaning from the body. Oh. Did you get that?
That means this finger alone, have you seen finger walking alone on the road? It has no meaning. In the same way, listen to me, your supply you get from the body of Christ, from the body of believers. Your nutrient flows from the body of believers. Your meaning comes from your participation in the collective. There are no lone Christians. Are you still with me? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16 talks about every joint fitly joined together supplying. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Put it up for me. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Especially 25. Put KJV for me, 25. If you have TPT, put it for me. If you have the Living Bible, put it for me. Then amplify. Let's go to Hebrews because of our time. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and to good works. I told you, mutual edification. I'll come back there later. 25. 25. Doing life together. We read it. They continued in fellowship. They had all things. It was so serious that if you had a property and somebody is hungry, you sold the property and distribute it. There's a balance to that, but the spirit cannot be lost. That means you cannot have 5 million in your account as we're talking, and somebody is hungry. If they want to collect the money from you to spend on frivolities, that's different. You don't give them. But for basic things, you have to be there for your brother. Hunger, or he can't pay rent of 50,000, something you can cover, you have to do something about. Or he cannot pay fees, you have to do something about it. Amen. Please don't harass your friend today. Say, head pastor, please do something about my situation. Verse 25. Pay attention. He said, and let us not neglect our meeting together. Our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We are in the end times. The day of his return is drawing near. We need to congregate together. We need to, because there's a flow. Something happens when we come together. It's an instruction. It's an instruction that has benefit for you. Oh God. Let me hurry up. You have message translation. Okay, amplify. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together. Don't neglect it. Don't say, well, I may come to church. Coming to church is not a big deal. Christianity is in the heart. That is dumb talking. I've explained it to you. Listen, this is the wisdom of God. 21st century cannot replace the wisdom of God. 21st century wokeness, I beg your pardon, cannot replace the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God. He said, don't neglect the gathering, the assembling together as believers. That means when meetings are called, be there. That means you shouldn't have enough reason not to come for services. That's what he's saying. You cannot be wiser than God. I've taught you here again and again that you can never serve God according to your own mind. No, you serve him according to prescribed order. You serve him. What's the scripture saying? He's saying you must assemble together with other believers, and you must belong to a family of believers for mutual edification, accountability, and healthy growth. You are not wiser than God. No, you are not wiser than God. You see, as you grow in the things of God, you must learn to seek his righteousness. You must learn to seek his way of doing things. How will God prefer things to be done? Don't serve God from assumption. I just assume God will understand. No, he does not understand. You are wrong. You are wrong. Retrace your steps. Well, I just think somebody said, I'm with my tithe. God loves poor people. I'm with my tithe going to church. Somebody has a need. Are you telling me the church is already prosperous? Wow, it's heaven on earth. Are you not seeing prosperity everywhere? The church is already prosperous. Are you telling me I cannot use that money to give to the poor? You want to please social media activists. That's your problem. You are not interested in reading the Bible, in doing things God's way. He said, Paul, the Bible says, give the tithe to the poor. You didn't read the Bible very well. There are three kinds of tithe in the law. There was the sacred tithe, there was the social justice tithe, and there was the vocational tithe. There were different stuffs.
He's saying, take 10%. It is holy unto the Lord. Take it to the temple. Give it to the priest. That's different. He said, take another 10%. The problem is the word tithe means the tenth. He's not talking about just one. Do you understand? He's saying, take another 10%. Give to the poor. That's social justice. Take another 10%. Go to a place I have appointed. Enjoy yourselves. So people confuse it. What he says to do social justice with is another 10%. It's called tenth. It's not the sacred tithe. Go and read it. There's no confusion. You want to help the poor, separate another 10% of your income. Keep it for welfare. Are you here? I'll show you a scripture that should communicate deep sense. You seek his righteousness. You don't just seek the kingdom. You seek his way of doing things. You don't serve God according to your... You know, people were trying to drag Bishop Oedipo that he said, if you carry your tithe and give to the poor, you become poor with them. Go and question him. When one of the wealthiest men on earth is talking, you have to listen. People are too arrogant to listen. That's the problem. A man is building 100,000 capacity without raising offering. Kai. Building like a bungalow. Minus that, they have built over, is it 5,000 churches? They gave the contract out. 5 to 10,000 churches in rural areas. That is no joker. Poor man will just sit in his room and just drag it. Anyway, Sha, you are not serious. Anyway, Sha. Your data is 1.5. You have never built a sanctuary before. 1.5, they give you 6 gig. You can talk for free. Go and pay rent and gather people. You will talk slowly. How many people are on your scholarship now? Update me. Pay school fees for 10 people at once. Then come and talk. Amen. I heard the man in Port Harcourt. He said the first time he gave $1 million into offering basket, you were still living in a rented apartment. That he had not built his house. It be with me? Yes. Yes. And this is not the first time I'm hearing him saying. I've heard him say that there was time he was pressing to give $1 million into offering basket on Sunday. Only the are you not inspired? Some people are just talking. Cho. Some men have gone. They have gone. It's talking. Cho. You are arguing with your keypad, your keyboard. $1 million offering basket. He did not announce it. Oh, my village people. This year I want to do. Is it good? Come and look into it. I want to give my car to church. Sit. Let me talk to you. Are you with me? Meko Pati Selepa. I hope you know. I've heard him say this before. He says offering on Sunday is $100 million and above. It gives minimum $20 million across 5 services. Offering. You know, we have to say this sometimes so that people's minds can open. So that people's minds can open. Such prosperity does not come by telling stories. Covenant. How did I get here? Serving God according to his terms. Not according to your terms. No. You don't do that. Let me show you scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Very quickly. In 2 Samuel chapter 6. Okay. You remember David was carrying the Ark of the Covenant home. And then they took the Ark in verse 3, I believe, upon the cart. New technology. Well, I will just follow service online. I don't need to come. I'm not sure. All these people may be sneezing in church. What are you even saying? Are you hearing yourself? And you're shouting, I have eternal life. I'm born again. What are you saying? They took the ark upon the cart. brought it out of the house of Ahinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the son of Aminadab, drove the cart. Not, what were the Levites doing? They were driving the cart. Then the cart shook. Then Uzzah wanted to help. Uzzah was a scapegoat. Uzzah didn't do anything special apart from being a scapegoat. God was angry with everybody there. He just went and touched our scapegoat. Do you understand? And David was afraid. He said, ah, God is not pleased with us. He left the ark in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Is Obed-Edom that should die, Abi? But see, to show you there was nothing wrong with the ark, Obed-Edom began to prosper. Ah! Yay! One of my favorite portions of scripture. I just love to meditate on that portion. He's inspiring. Inspiring. 2 Samuel 6, Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Bible said the ark was in his house for 6 months. Then Obed-Edom began to prosper. What is the connection? Ark in your house, prosperity in your field. Oh. Hey, what we have is real. It's real. It's real. We are the tabernacle of the ark now. Have it together. The ark lives in us now. And in a sense, it's in our midst. This is why wealth and riches has to be in your house. Let me tell you, Obed-Edom is not money for food Obed-Edom had. The Bible says his prosperity got to the palace. It got to the palace. They say, oh king, God has blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Imagine your prosperity reaching out to rock. They say, there's this guy in Jos. Mr. President, you have to pay attention. Did you get that? There's this babe in Jos. Mr. President, you have to pay attention. There's this madam in Jos. You have to pay attention. Glory to God. But that's not even where I'm going. We're just enjoying the word. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. David explained what happened. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 13. It's the same story, but the one in Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 13. Okay. Let's read in King James, then Amplify. For because we did it not at first, the Lord our God made a bridge upon us. For that we sought him not after the due order. Have it together. After the due order. This is what I'm telling you, believers. There is a due order to seek God. There's a due order to seek God. And that due order is you must congregate with his people. You must belong to a local church. It's a due order. You can't have it another way. That's the context of our discussion. Look at Amplified. He said, but because we bore it not as God directed at the first, the Lord our God broke forth upon us because we did not seek him in the way he ordained. There's a way God has ordained for us to relate with him. You don't relate with God based on what you think. You get to his word and find out what he has said. Have it together. He said, don't neglect the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Benefit of doing life together, number one, a healthy spiritual growth. A healthy spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Are you with me? A healthy spiritual growth. That's the first thing. Listen to me. Your spiritual growth is a priority to God. God's perfect will for you is to grow spiritually. That is scripture. John, 3 John 2, I wish above all that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25, Paul says, I wish to continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith. For your progress, for your furtherance and joy in the faith. I love the way Tippity puts it. He says, to further strengthen and mature your faith. That's growth. That means God wants you strengthened and he wants your faith to mature. That's growth. Are you with me? Are you still with me? Remember in Acts 2:32 that we read, I commend it to God and to what of his grace, which is able to build you up. God wants you built up. He wants you growing. He wants you making progress. Are we together? So listen to me. Your spiritual growth is a priority to God. And your spiritual growth must be a daily priority for you. The more you grow, the less you limit God. The less you grow, the more you limit God. Your growth gives God expression through your life. Are we together? Your lack of growing spiritually places a limitation on how much of God you can manifest. And this is why your spiritual growth must be a daily priority. But guess what? There's a healthy way to grow. There's an unhealthy way to grow. Not all growth are healthy growth. Don't you know? Even cancer is a growth, but it's an unhealthy growth. They are cancerous spiritual growth. And you can write that down, and I mean it. The unhealthy spiritual growth. Why is cancer an unhealthy growth? Because it's growth out of governance, out of regulation. It's a disproportionate growth. In the same way, spiritually, a person can have a disproportionate growth. The normal cell growth in the human body is under governance, under control, under order. This is why your left hand did not grow 7 inches longer than your right hand. There's a signal from the command center that stop. Grow again. Stop. Have it together. There are signals for the growth. Governance. There's control center for the growth of the body. It's the same way spiritually. You cannot grow healthily without understanding this, doing life together. Write this down. No matter how hard you try, a healthy spiritual growth is impossible in isolation. It doesn't matter how serious you try. A healthy spiritual growth is impossible in isolation. Because there's an environment for growth. There's an environment for healthy growth. And that's the local church. That's the body of believers. No cell in your body can grow without an input from other parts of the body. And that's the truth. And that's the truth. Have it together. Healthy spiritual growth. Many people don't know that. The thing is that in my relationship with God, I can stay in my room, read books, listen to messages, and give to the poor, and even send offering online. No. No. No, there's an environment for healthy growth, and there are principles for healthy growth. You have to belong to a body of believers to grow healthily. Why? Number one, it gives you opportunity for submission. For submission. I told you earlier, why is cancer called an unhealthy growth? Growth out of governance. Listen to me and listen well. Spiritual growth out of governance is unhealthy. It's unhealthy. In the context of a local church, you have submission covering an accountability. An accountability. And these are necessary ingredients for growth. Listen, attending a church and being submitted, they are two different things. They are two different things. Oh, you know what submission means? Give me Hebrews chapter 13. Quickly, Hebrews 13 verse 7. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Are you blessed already? 21st century Christianity cannot change the truth of God's word. He said, remember them which have the rule over you. In the Bible, rule. Somebody has to rule over you. I know there are 21st century Christians who wish we could tear this out of the Bible. But unfortunately, it cannot happen. Somebody must have rule over you. The question you ask yourself, maybe ask your neighbor, who has the rule over you spiritually? Ask them now, are you afraid of the person? Say, I know they fear you. Who have the rule over you spiritually? You can't tear it out. You can't. This is God's order. I told you, you seek God, you relate with God according to his terms. Who has the rule over you? Watch this. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. He's talking about your pastors. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means their lives were consistent. They lived before you. Their lives were consistent with the message. It's not social media Bible teacher. Amen. That thing is common sense as far as I'm concerned. Because the person is sounding deep. It's sounding controversial. You now want to pay attention to him. Do you know him? Are you with me? Give me message translation. Maybe KJV. Sorry. Amplified translation of verse 7. He's talking about authority and submission here. Authority and submission here. I wish you had time to read the entire verse 13. You must be under authority. He said, remember your leaders and superiors in authority, for it was they who brought to you the word of God. Observe attentively and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives, and imitate their faith, their conviction that God exists, is the creator, the ruler of all things, and all that. You can read that. But you notice what I wanted you to say. He says, superiors in authority. 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 A dear man of God preached a message years ago, heirs of bondage. I can't forget it. He says, just like the young man's father walked out of the chiefs in that village meeting arrogantly, he's walking out of church leaders arrogantly. He has inherited bondage. He doesn't know. It's in the Bible. So, submission, accountability. The first part is submission, which is what I'm talking about. I just wanted to show you the reality of it. Okay, it helps you grow. It helps you have a healthy growth. Like a child, just as a child, having food to eat and where to sleep, is that enough for the child to grow properly? No, he may just be growing physically. In fact, there are things his parents will notice that may not be noticed if he's growing on the street. He has where to go and eat food. But it's more than that. Children are raised in homes. Children are raised in families. The Bible says he set the solitaries in families. But the rebellious shall dwell in dry places. Have it together. Are you learning something? Never forget this. Attending a church and coming under submission are not the same thing. Coming under submission is deliberate. You come under the authority of the local assembly. And how does that happen? I told you about training, that the house of God is a center of training. That means beyond teaching, you provide yourself to be instructed and you provide yourself to engage in practices. Have it together? To be instructed. Submission. Submission. Who can tell you go and you go, come and you come? Amen. Are we together? Who can tell you sit here? And I have seen people run into trouble, especially in the context of marriage, when they don't understand this. I tell people, don't marry any man who is not under authority. And I'm not saying I have mentor. I say I have, anybody can say they have mentor. It's not the same as being under authority. It's not the same. And for some of you, maybe you're hearing for the first time, please incline your ears. I am under authority. Are you here? Anything that must go fast must have brakes. Do you understand? That means you set a system around your life of somebody who can talk to you steadily and you listen. Who can tell you the truth and you will abide. He says they have the rule over you. Rule. That means sometimes your so-called personal business becomes our business. Why did you dress like that? Why did you treat your wife like that? Why did you talk to your husband like that? Not say it's my personal business. No. That means you are not submitted. Amen. You are not submitted. You belong to a local church. You just traveled. Maybe after 3 weeks. We saw your Facebook. It's been a long time. So, Pastor, I traveled. Who knew that you traveled? Nobody. I just traveled. I told my girlfriend I was traveling. I told my wife that I was traveling. I told my husband. I don't even know where to start with you. Again, I know many people are just hearing for the first time. But see, it cannot position you for healthy growth. Give me the same scripture of verse 17. Verse 17. Let me show you another amazing part there. Verse 17. Glory to God. Can you put it up? Read it for me. One to go. No, stop, stop, stop. Read it again. One to go. I know somebody wants to tear this out of the Bible. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you. Do you know I have authority over you? As your pastor, are you here? Or maybe you stumbled into this place and you have a local church somewhere. Do you know your pastor has authority over you? Authority means authority. It's simple. Are we together? You know, this is for your furtherance and for your joy of faith. That's why we're doing this. This is for your growth. This is for your progress. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing the authority over you. Watch this. He said, for they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who will have to render an account of their trust. Do you know I'll stand before God and account for everybody he sent to my trust? He said, do your part to let them do this with gladness and not with sighing and groaning, for that will not be profitable to you either. There are scriptures you see and you keep quiet first. You can see that Christianity is not about everybody just doing his own thing. There is a regiment, there's order, there's structure, there's a system that God has put in place. There's prescribed order. Amplify said it the way he has ordained it. Ordained way. Are you with me? Ordained way. I know I was stretched. Ordained way. But let's nail this. Are you blessed? Ordained way. It helps you grow. Through submission and oversight, you are guided and given layered revelation by the Spirit. Listen, there's a way knowledge must be structured to bring progress. Oh, you don't believe that? Go and read all the medical books that medical students read. Gather all the medical books. Read them and read and read and finish all the books. You'll not be a medical doctor. You can never be a medical doctor. You must be guided. Do you believe me? Go and read all the books on law, all the law books. For the curriculum for Nigeria, read all the law books. Finish all the books. In fact, you finish more books than the people in faculty of law. It makes a difference. You will not be a lawyer. You'll not be a lawyer. And I'm not saying that because I'm by just saying, okay, the Nigerian Bar Association will not endorse it. No, that's what I'm saying. If you drop it in court, you can't win the case. I can assure you. Without guidance, why? There's a way knowledge is structured to bring progress. There's a way knowledge is structured to produce a person. Are we together? He must be structured. And this is what you gain when you sit in one place under and have oversight and accountability and you're submitted. Are we together? Very important. It's the same thing spiritually. Submission, accountability now. In the local church, you are accountable to leaders and other believers. And this makes for healthy growth. To be accountable means the state of being answerable. Glory to God. I told you anything that must have speed, must have brakes. Your personal business, if it will affect you negatively, becomes our business. Have it together. You are not married to a guy, you are cohabiting with him. We will ask you. Glory to God. And you should be glad you have people that can tell you. Now, the point is, any church that comes judging you is already wrong. So I'm not talking about judgment, but with love. The Bible says something one another in love. Okay? Pardon? Speaking the truth in love. Thank you. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Accountability. Are we together? That means you must know that you are subject to one to another. As ladies, if you are not dressing properly, someone should be able to honorably call you by the side. Okay, if you are coming to church, you wear something like this now, and you are not offended. Are we together? You are not offended. If you are generally rude, somebody should be able to call you by the side and talk to you. Okay, can you talk to? I've noticed over time now that you address people like this, and they say peacefully with love. Don't get angry. You can't grow that way. You should be glad that somebody can tell you the truth. You've been raised in church with values. Now you are bringing a man that smokes and drinks that doesn't honor God, and you are setting wedding date. Somebody should be able to tell you that, look, sister, is there a problem? Okay, is there a problem? Is there a way we can help? Don't you think? Not like you say, congratulations. The Lord that did it for you will do it for me. You know your sister is going in a destructive path. What I'm saying, I said, when are we gathering? What is the Ashwe be like or something? I said, oh, mama, your faith has produced nonsense and ingredients. Are you with me? Accountability. Accountability. It's called accountability. Are you here? You dress half naked and put a picture up. We should be able to call you and chat you up. Babe, drop that thing. That is picture for private eyes. It should not be on social media. Do you understand? Your business becomes a business. It's called accountability. He said that's what you get in the church. And it helps you grow. We're talking about spiritual growth. Healthy spiritual growth. It helps you grow. And you too should be bold and loving enough to do it for others. I'm not talking about unnecessarily meddling in people's business. No. I'm talking about things that affect them negatively. Are we together? How many is done to you? Receive it in love. Receive it in love. It will help you grow. I'll show you a scripture that will blow your mind. Accountability helps you grow. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. Very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. Look at this. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you. Somebody say all of you. All of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. Because it takes humility for this mutual accountability. It takes humility. He says, this is amazing. This is accountability. This is scripture. Be subject one to another. He knows it to be difficult, so he said, be humble. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. That means to do it otherwise is to be proud. That's what he's saying. And God will elbow you himself. You know, one of the things that God hates is pride. Yeah. He hates it. He keeps you there until you learn. Pride in whatever form. But what is he saying? You see, be subject one to another. Meaning, be accountable. Okay, be accountable. Be accountable. Praise God. Be accountable. Somebody should be able to tell you, guy, you love women. If you have a raw person that can tell you that is good, he said, brother, you hang around too many ladies. It's not this one anymore. It's this one. Family. Straight. If you are in the same brotherhood, amen. Oh, it's not this one anymore. So what's happening? Is there something I don't know? You understand? That's your friend talking to you. Are you here? Don't resist it. Be humble. You know what the proud do? My friend, what's your business? Why meddle in my business? Are you trying to judge me? Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. We are not saying you are not a Christian. Have it together. Or it could be around the use of money. The use of money. We can say it politely. Don't you think you should review the way you spend? That's polite, right? Review. Praise God. Are we together? But the point is, be humble and be accountable. Glory, glory, glory to God. Let me nail it now. I almost preach an everlasting gospel today. Well, are you blessed? Stay humble. Stay humble. I say God will give you grace. What is grace? That's another name for growth. Have it together. He said, but God gives grace to the humble. Okay. That's the first thing. Spiritual growth. Healthy spiritual growth. The second thing is you experience love and your own love work is strengthened. Let me rush it. Please, let me just finish this. You experience love and your own love work is strengthened. Let me tell you. You don't know how to walk in love if you don't stay with Christians to do things. For two reasons. Number one, you expect that they are Christians, but they still bruise you. And that bruising will help strengthen your love walk. It's not so that you run away. No. Listen, you can never be strong in walking in love if people are not a challenge to your love walk. Do you understand? Get engaged in church. Get involved in church so that somebody can talk to you anyhow. Somebody can bruise you. Do you understand? Do you understand what I mean? And you see it as opportunity to love. Yes, it is. It's part of the growth process. You cannot truly grow if you're not engaging. If you're not engaging in church, it will take you out of your convenience. But you are better off doing it. You greeted somebody and he just eyed you and passed. And you say, this is supposed to be church. Yes, walk in love. Have it together. Maybe the person is dealing with issues. Are you with me? But my point is, it helps you strengthen your own love walk. Don't forget that love is the energy of faith. That means the stronger your love walk, the stronger your faith. Oh, the stronger your love walk, the stronger your faith life. And listen, love is the number one indicator of your growth. So when you are growing in love, you are truly growing spiritually. But see, if you don't engage, you can't really grow. All this, I want my space, I'm busy. You can't grow. Let me tell you, in case you are not getting a message, mingling with other believers in service helps you grow fast. That's what I'm saying. It helps your love walk. It helps your love walk. And then you experience love too. Let's not all judge church. Church is a place where you experience love too. Is that true? How many of you have experienced love in this church? Let me see your hand. One way or the other. Let me see your hand. If you have not experienced love yet, your love is coming to you. Don't worry. Just stay there. Your love portion is coming to you. Amen. Kabaye. Glory to God. Are you blessed? Amen. And lastly, mutual edification. I spoke about that extensively last week. Doing life together. No isolation. Okay? You get hurt, come back. There'll be opportunities for offense, but strain your mind not to be offended. Okay? Somebody say, oh, in this church, self, I was trying to call the pastor. I've been calling and calling. He's not even picking anybody's call. You are not serious, first. You are not serious. That's something is already wrong. You are angry that I did not pick your call. Amen. Walk in love towards me. Glory to God. Walk in love towards me. Love makes excuses for people, true of us. Just say, pastor is busy. You know, he has many people to see. You think you are the only one I have. I have many people. I have many people. We have churches. Hope you are aware. And some of those people also try to reach me. You don't know. We have thousands of people outside of Glow Zone who follow us. And they try to reach me. Okay, they try to reach me. Glory to God. People try to reach me. Sometimes I miss the call. Sometimes when I pick, oh, sir, we tried calling you earlier. I apologize. People try to reach me. Amen. Glory to God. I have many people. There was a popular apostle in this country who called me, all of you know, who called me on my birthday. Apparently, I didn't have his number on the phone I was using currently. And I didn't pick the call. His friend tried. It was later. Someone told me that apostle so-and-so was trying. I say, me and Pastor Apostle. I called. I say, apostle, sir, you cannot be trying to call me. Just to wish you happy birthday. Amen. Are you here? Walk in love. Are you blessed? Let's rise to our feet. It's a long message, but purpose achieved. We nailed it. Doing life together. Doing life together. Doing life together.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.